Welcome to Uranus News, live. It turns out the ambassador to Uranus has never even been. We've been told he's been instructed to visit and give us a rundown on the culture and lifestyle of Uranus. Over to the weather, it's going to be dark and blustery. Ah. Stevie?
Yeah, I've never been.
To Uranus?
I haven't even really heard of many people that have been and came back alive. I don't plan on going, and I don't deal well with the cold.
I'd like to visit Uranus someday.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jonathan. You may remember him from a phone from last week. that's all I got, pretty much. He was on the phone. Things were said.
Some trash was talked.
That's a good way to put it.
There was some smack.
Yeah, there was definitely some smack and some running over by the bus.
I was run over. I was thrown under, and then I was run over.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
And it's happened more since then.
Oh, really?
That's the worst part. Yeah.
So, we had to have him on so he could redeem himself and really set the record clear. And, so you guys, like Justin was saying, may remember Daniel Taylor throwing Jonathan under the bus, and he did get to call in and give a little bit of his opinion, but I think he was just waking up, so
yeah,
he's got more to say today.
Yeah.
And so.
I thought I would have more to say. I thought I'd have a chance to redeem myself, because when Daniel called me, my main point was that Dylan is a wrestler,
right,
and I'm not a wrestler. I was like, I'd be able to submit him. Since that day, I have been double grapevined and smashed by Dylan. If you don't know what a double grapevine
is,
it's where you can be in one of two positions. Either the victim can be laying on his face or his back, but the perpetrator of said grapevine is always on top. And they wrap their legs around your legs.
Oh, no.
And just spread your legs apart. And that's what happened to me for a long time.
Is it over the legs or
it's like,
under?
It's kind of looped under. I guess it's over. Over,
yeah,
under?
So thighs go over and then...
Yeah, and you just yank.
I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an overhook to the thighs.
Yeah, it was rough. So we wrestled again, Dylan and I. Because I was like, I just want to try again.
Yeah.
He's so strong.
He really is.
He's such a strong...
He's a man.
He's shockingly strong. He doesn't look like that strong with clothes on. When he takes his clothes off, he's just... Whoa. When he takes his shirt off.
You can talk about it. You can talk about his thighs or whatever.
So I took a picture of his back while he was rock climbing, and it's just like... Ridiculous.
Like Thanos?
Yes, Thanos back. It's crazy. He looks like he's been rock climbing forever and wrestling forever, because he has. I challenged him to another wrestling match, and he smoked me pretty immediately. I have bloody knees and elbows, and my ear is
all jacked. Do you want to show us where he hurt you?
Do you have a teddy bear?
Yeah,
if you have a teddy bear, I can show you on that. I'm all beat up and stuff from that. But yeah, I challenged him to another wrestling match, thinking that maybe there would be some wiggle room and I would come out on top. And it didn't happen. He smashed me immediately. And then he was like, hey, but do you want to try a submission? Because that's kind of your thing. And I think, you know, you'd beat me in that. I was like, okay, yes, finally. Like a chance at redemption. Like I'm about to smoke him. I was thinking I'd just, because he's a wrestler, you know, guys going to their back is kind of irregular, like pulling guard, you know.
Right, yeah. They like to be there, but you got some
offense
from there.
Like I feel comfortable on my back. But I was thinking I would either get him in a triangle from my back, or I would take his back and I just, you know, get him with a slick RNC or something. And
rear naked choke for you guys who don't know what that is.
Rear naked choke. And that didn't happen.
Oh,
he literally just slammed me on my back and grapevined me and held me there.
No.
And he just grabbed my, so he's on top of me, and he just grabbed my head like this. My head is right here. He just grabbed my head like this and just went like this for like 5 minutes. And I was thinking, this really sucks, but Eventually,
5 minutes, like literally
Seriously, 5 minutes.
Oh gosh.
And I was thinking, you know, he'll get tired. He's exerting a lot of energy right now. Right. He'll get tired eventually, and
I'll relax.
Then I'll submit him. Yeah, I'll just relax because I mean, it sucked. It was super painful. I have like bruises all over my calves just from how aggressively he was like yanking my legs apart.
Wow.
I was like, I'll just weather the storm, and then I'll take his back, and I'll tap him out. And that never happened. The match ended with him saying he was going to throw up because he was exerting so much and me feeling like I didn't want to be thrown up on.
Right. But,
and also recognizing that even if it had gone on longer, he probably still would have found a way to beat me because he's just so much stronger. So,
and I don't think that bodily fluid is a good – it's not – that's not a legal means for a tap out in MMA, is it?
No.
I don't think you can. As a matter of fact, don't you get disqualified?
Yeah, it's just a DC. Yeah. As far as I know.
Should have weathered a storm. I mean, at least you could have come on and say, hey, I won.
Yeah, I didn't. He literally just held me there for 5 minutes, and I, yeah.
And it wasn't even gentle.
It wasn't gentle at all, and it was just embarrassing because I was like, this should be like where I shine. But instead, he stepped into my shine and took it.
Right.
He took my shine.
He took your shine.
He took my shine.
How's your stand-up?
My stand-up is, I would say it's definitely better than his, but so Daniel actually, I was talking to Daniel about this because it really, it kind of messed with me a little bit. It's one of the only things I'm kind of proud of and take and like moderately competitive in is like martial arts. I'm like, you know, this is something I do and I love, you know, this is like my thing.
Yeah.
And so I was just feeling kind of down. I was like, man, Dylan hasn't trained in a long time and he just kicked my butt. And Daniel was like, if it was MMA, you'd probably kick his butt. But, like, just how dominant he was in wrestling, he would have completely neutralized any tools I had standing up by just taking me down, holding me on my back, and hitting me in the face. So, Dylan, I wanted to come here and defend myself, but ultimately, Dylan would smash me.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. It's going to make you stronger, right? Because you got to go over and you got to strengthen these tools.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to start rock climbing with him now, which is exciting.
Yeah.
He actually gave me a pair of shoes, I think, just as kind of like a, hey, man, I'm sorry for kicking your butt and making you feel bad.
What weight class do you fight in?
I was fighting at 155.
Uh-huh.
I kind of want to go up higher, especially for amateurs.
Yeah.
I just want to get bigger anyway, and I don't feel like cutting all that weight, so I'm thinking around like 170.
Yeah. So where do you, like, how much you weigh right now?
Close to 170.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm probably like 165.
Okay. And so what about this guy that you're fighting? Similar weight, or is he bigger than
Dylan?
You? Yeah.
He's same size. He's taller, but he's the same weight. Yeah, and just 100% muscle, though. I'm not there yet where I'm, like, just shredded up and no fat. And he is.
Yeah.
And he just has like he has like that farm boy strength, like he's like farm boy old man strength.
Well, yeah, because he's the climbing,
That's and the wrestling.
Like, yeah,
it's a bad combination. Yeah. It's a great combination for him, but for me, it sucks.
So, what kind of takedowns? I'm sorry, I'm going way deep into technique because I just like fighting. But what kind of takedowns does he use? Is he like single leg?
He was getting me with single legs a lot. He's just got such a strong grip, and he. My hips would be a little too close, and he would immediately just snag me behind the knee and suck my leg up under him, and I couldn't get it out. There was like one time that I sprawled and actually got my leg away from him, but the rest of the time he pretty much just like had his way. And even if I reversed something, he was just immediately on another takedown.
Right.
He's just like attack. And that's one of the reasons I hate like training with – I mean, I love training with wrestlers.
Right.
But at the same time, it's the most frustrating thing because that's not at all how I fight or how I grapple or whatever. I'm a lot more like reserved and I'm just kind of looking for openings and stuff and moving a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
A little more patient, but he's just constantly – just laying that pressure on thick, and I can't handle it.
It's almost like – like training, I'd imagine, like having a balance of like – kind of like stroking your ego in scenarios and then getting your butt whooped.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's so important.
So you grow, but you don't get, you know what I mean? Like, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I think a majority of my training is getting my butt kicked. There are a couple guys that have come in and have stroked my ego a little bit, but they're like guys that don't train.
Yeah.
Everybody in my gym. Maybe not everybody.
Yeah.
probably everybody in my gym.
don't sell yourself short.
Knock me out. I've had some close encounters there with guys that, like, I did not think would be able to do the things to me that they did to me.
Right.
There's my first day going in there, actually. I had done a couple solo sessions with Rick, the head coach at Sick Jitsu. And he was like, "Hey, I want you to start coming to the pro class." I was like, "Okay. All right. He sees a lot of potential in me, I guess. I guess I got what it takes." Okay.
And get my butt kicked by
to
pros.
Get my butt kicked. And I had no idea. Like, just the difference in competence and ability. Like, I didn't know that people could be that much better. Mm-hmm. But I went into the pro class my first day, and this guy walks in, and he's got a gym bag and stuff, and he looks like he's like 35. He's just kind of dirty and stuff. He looked like a scrub. I thought, thinking back on it, I was like, he obviously isn't a scrub. I hope he never sees this. He'll hurt me again. But
he'll find you.
His name's Dave Crescane.
Hashtag.
I didn't know who he was at the time. And he was like, "Hey, you want to spar?" And he's like a super nice, like, friendly guy. And I was like, "Yeah. Yeah, I want to spar." Like, Rick wants me here. Yeah, I want to spar.
I need to teach you a lesson, old man.
Yes, old man.
Oh, my gosh.
Who do you think you are? I'm one of the newest up-and-comers. Like, you're going to see me in the UFC so soon.
You're in the pro class.
I was in the pro class. Yeah.
I
was feeling myself. I was like, oof, oof.
Can't wait.
Big
show this guy. What's
big
up?
Shot. Yeah, so I strap up. I'm ready to go. And he just opens up our sparring session by kicking me in the face. Literally, I felt my teeth move. I had a mouth guard, thankfully, but I felt my teeth, like, shift in my face. And, like, he just caught me square because, like, he threw it, and I turned into it because I didn't know what I was doing in spite of being in the pro class. For the very first time, and he kicked me in my face. And I was like, "Oh, my God, that sucked." That sucked right in my face. And he just starts, like, opening up with all these crazy combinations and stuff. And I was like, "I don't know how to do any of the things you just did." and he just keeps hitting me over and over and over again. And then finally he catches me right in my bread basket, my liver.
Ooh.
And, I had never taken a legit liver shot before. And it was the most excruciating thing. I'd been hit in the face a lot, but getting hit in the liver, it dropped me. So I was like, "Okay, I'm done." Ooh. And I dropped to the floor. It was a controlled drop. Like, it wasn't just like, it was like, okay.
It wasn't like a slow-mo, complete backward
fall.
Yeah,
no, it was like, "Okay, I'm done." and I guess I found out after the fact that he does this to a lot of the new guys just to kind of vet them and be like, "Hey, you actually in it for the long haul.
Welcome to the pro class."
Yeah, like, this is what MMA is. Like, you get hurt and stuff, and people punch you hard. And so I dropped to the floor, and he's like, "You got to keep going." And I was like, "What?" And he's standing up, and he just pops me in the face while he's standing up. And I was like, "Oh, shoot." So I go to my back, and I pull guard. And he's going for submissions, and I'm fighting him off and stuff. So I'm feeling better about that. But then he stands up just, like, super fast and stacks my legs up over my head. So I'm laying on my back. My legs are up here. Mm-hmm. And he is just fully postured up, literally has his hand up in the air like this, and just brought it down on my stomach, like, three times. And there are other guys there. There's this guy, his name's Chance Haskins, super, super nice dude. I trained with him a lot after this. He was like, "Dude, he's hurt. Like, what are you doing? Stop." Yeah, so that was the end of that. I left that day thinking that I would probably never do MMA, and I would never go back. But then I went back and got my butt kicked a lot.
How long did it take you to go back?
Went back immediately. Yeah. I went back the next day.
It's harder the longer you wait, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I still get, like, butterflies when I go in.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I mean, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. It's like, maybe today is the day that I'm going to get knocked out for the first time.
Get, like, post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, once I'm in there, I feel a lot more loose and excited and stuff. But, like, the lead-up to actually training, it's like, oh, maybe today will be the day.
George St. Pierre, like, up until, like, he said every time he went in, he was nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
I would probably counsel people to not. I mean, I've never fought, but, well, that's not true. I used to street fight, but never trained.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine, you know, butterflies probably stay. Maybe it gets easier. I don't know. But
You had the butterflies when you were street fighting?
Oh, anytime. I mean, I still get butterflies if I know I have to have a confrontation, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, confrontation is not easy, but it's necessary, you know? I'm nervous.
Confrontations?
I don't know about a lot, just because I have a lot of, I got a family at home. I'm raising 6 kids.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm not in those type of environments as much as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I have regular confrontations. Like if I have something that happens that I don't like, you know, with a friend of mine, I feel like for healthy relationships, you gotta, you know, for me to honor you, if I have a problem with you, we need to talk about it.
Yeah. And then punch each other? Or wait, is that not part of it?
Well, I mean, when I was a teenager, it was. I haven't punched anybody in a long time. I've almost been punched a couple times. But through confrontations with people that don't, they haven't learned the technique yet of not dealing with it with physical violence. You know?
I was going to say, I don't really feel butterflies, but the feeling I would describe is like, you know, when an alligator has clamped down on something and it starts rolling?
You feel like the alligator or the person that's been clamped down?
The alligator.
You feel like the alligator.
I was trying to.
He's a beast.
It's like macho butterflies.
Okay.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I feel
butterflies. You're just talking about alligators clamping down on stuff.
You have an alligator rolling in your tummy?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah,
that's so much worse than butterflies.
I feel
it was so supposed to sound cooler, but I don't know if it actually does.
The feeling I get is like a starving lion, someone dangling a steak in front of, and they're... I'm letting the cage open.
Yeah, definitely.
And the lion out.
Yeah.
Rah!
Yeah.
But
in my stomach, it's like the same thing, but like Arnold Schwarzenegger is riding on the lion.
Oh, yeah.
And he has like a bunch of guns and stuff. And
dude, yes.
There's like a tribe of Amazon women following him.
Yeah. Is he holding an American flag?
Obviously.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because he's American.
That's obviously.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has to drop some awesome Arnold Schwarzenegger line.
Oh, yeah.
He had to split. What happened to Kelly? He had to split. And there's two halves of his body laying there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Is that a reference?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know any Schwarzenegger references.
Oh, man. One time he's like holding some guy off of a cliff. I don't know which movies, you know.
Yeah, I lose track.
And he comes back, and the girl's like, what happened to Freddy? I let him go. He was known for it. They were great. Like, you're watching the Arnold movie waiting for this corny little line.
And then you have to clap. That's why I clapped. It's because you have to clap.
I didn't. Wow. That's a new rule. I didn't know about the clapping.
I clap watching Paul Rudd.
Dude, Paul Rudd's the best.
He is the best.
Yeah. See, clapping gave me butterflies. So I would appreciate it if we don't do that anymore.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So just can we golf clap?
To honor the confrontational... Copy.
Is that golf?
Is that golf clapping? I don't even know.
I think that's like... that's slam poetry.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
They don't do that.
Dude, that poetry just slam.
Guys like at a golf game match. It's like,
golf game.
I'm too emotional for that kind of stuff, man. Don't give me rules to how I respond to art and like awesome things.
Mm. Oh, I've seen you.
Yeah.
When the music's on.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no telling what you're gonna do.
Exactly. And I don't tone it. I don't tone it down for anybody. That's a deal.
You'll be in between like 60-year-old women like just on all sides, and you're just getting it.
And that's where a lot of confrontations happen. So I guess to go back, I have unintentionally hit many people even recently.
Oh man.
I actually met my wife by hitting her.
That's
on the dance floor.
You were hitting on her.
Wait a minute. Like. That's how she tells the story. Just for the record, she hit me. She was
okay.
You know, in the way of my elbow.
She got so in your head that you remembered the story, how she tells it.
Yeah,
that's
I know. And
right
I
there.
Just agreed with
that
it,
absolutely.
Which is on the air,
that's
not
marriage.
How it happened.
Right.
Okay, she got in the way of my elbow
mm-hmm.
and fell in love with me, basically.
Yeah.
Short story.
That was a beautiful story.
You must
story.
Have a cute elbow.
I ran my wife over snowboarding.
Did you?
So, yeah.
Is that how you met her?
Or? No, but it's just that was like the first time that we touched.
Okay.
Oh my god!
Crash!
I plowed into her. And she flew up over my head.
Wow!
It was great.
Love.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And like,
did you plan
I just
that?
See the slow motion, like.
Yeah,
your eyes meeting
the entire time. We're like, wow,
which is probably not at all what it was.
She's so beautiful, and she touched me.
She probably got butterflies.
Yeah,
no man.
Johnny Sondland was there.
Oh.
He saw it all happen.
That's so great.
We're like 14. It was rough.
Yeah. Are you and Johnny pretty close?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've awesome. We've been buddies buddies for a long time.
It happens, man.
Yeah, yeah, happen. The voice cracks?
Yeah.
Yeah, they happen to me.
I don't know why, but it's like mostly when I'm podcasting.
Oh, they happen to me all the time. Like, yeah, I'm not fully convinced I've hit puberty yet.
Wow.
There's still... two. There's two. So you have to hit second puberty.
Oh, okay.
When you hit second puberty, you'll probably go back and whoop some people up.
I'll probably beat Dylan up, yeah.
You'll wake up and you'll just have a beard. Like that'll a full be awesome. Beard. And you'll be like, what just happened? Second puberty.
So this grapevine maneuver or whatever, mm-hmm. am I saying that right?
Yeah, grapevine.
So does he has to have the hooks in right,
yeah.
to have that move on you?
Yeah.
And then he wraps them probably around the calves too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is he an octopus actually?
He's actually not. Well, he does yoga and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
He's just such an active guy. And watching him rock climb it's insane because
yeah, I've seen some clips, man.
He's just so controlled and he's able to just do things with like stick his leg like way up here and his arms and stuff. Like my shoulder range of motion isn't even close to his, so my legs certainly aren't.
He's an octopus.
He's an octopus.
Wow. With four, only four.
Yeah.
It's quadrupus. Is he just wearing like human skin? Like,
I'm not sure if he even has human skin.
We should probably bring him in and dissect him or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Find out what's inside.
Yeah.
Camera?
Yeah. If his skin lets us do that.
It's pretty enough. Yeah, it's pretty graphic.
His skin would probably grab a knife and like jab us with it.
Like, hey, what are you doing?
Like,
I don't know if he watched this. I don't know how he would feel about
it. I don't know. Let's tag him in it and find out.
Yeah.
So
I basically just said he was an alien or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's not smack talk, though. It's just praise. We're just praising him.
Yeah. We're saying that he's so competent. We don't even understand how he's human.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like that's common.
Which I think is great. I mean, I feel like there's, you know, it's cool to have Jonathan. He's going through this humbling process in life. And, you know, I was ready for him to come on and be like, yeah, man. He added submissions and is not going to do that anymore.
But. No. No. And he's also super handsome.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man.
He is so.
Really?
Oh, man. He's just an all around stud.
Man. Who is this guy?
Very charismatic.
Yeah. Super, super. Like goofy, but goofy too.
Yeah, he doesn't take himself too serious, you know?
Yeah. You should have him on.
I was single.
Wow.
And, I don't know.
All right.
Wow. Man, I just did not expect it, you know? Last week was like, he's a wrestler. And now he's like.
He's just a god.
He's a macho man.
Yeah. Like a Greek god.
He's a Greek god.
Yeah. So,
where do we go from here?
Dude, I don't even remember. Like,
should we talk about music at some point?
Yeah, that was the idea.
Like for the whole podcast.
It's been a bit of a
sound
tangent.
Mind, the idea
is
to talk about music, not just for today.
I think we had actually set aside time in our minds so that we could call Daniel out. But based on that introduction.
Right.
Just call him and be like, hey.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be backed over under the bus four more times, you know?
Hey, Daniel, do you remember how you said I could beat him at submissions?
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Right, yeah.
I couldn't do it.
We'll have to have Jonathan back in like 6 months. We'll be like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Give us an update.
Yeah. Maybe in 6 months. Oh, man. It would take so long to get his level.
Yeah.
Yeah,
where's that guillotine at when he goes for the takedown?
He's just hips over on the opposite side, so it doesn't happen. I used to get stuck in that position a lot, actually, where I'd go for a guillotine, and then my arm would end up trapped because someone would get their hips over, and that's just the worst feeling. So I stopped going for him.
Yeah.
So last week we talked about Christian movies with Daniel.
Yes.
And you expressed some interest. You really like Christian movies, right?
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah.
Especially Fireproof.
Yeah, what's your favorite?
It's my Fireproof.
Oh, it's really Fireproof?
Okay. Fireproof's my favorite.
Yeah.
Actually, no, there are some good Christian... What was it? I think I watched October Baby when I was like 16.
I don't know that one.
That's a Christian movie?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, October Baby.
Yeah, it's like it's a pro-life movie.
Yep.
I thought it was really beautiful until my mom bought it for me for Christmas. But there was a... I actually hate Christian movies. I hate them so much.
Yeah, I felt like the sarcasm came through for me, but I was just,
I hate them. But there was something that happened that kind of sealed the deal on my distaste for Christian movies.
Maybe I
shouldn't say hate.
Yeah, take us back
to
that
moment,
Jonathan.
Can I just, real quick, let me interject real quick, because there's some Christian movies I love, so I want to shout them out real quick. The Matrix, okay, number one. Braveheart. too.
Yep. Beautiful.
Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Happy Feet.
Yep.
That's Happy Feet.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. Happy Feet is Robin about Williams. A revolution of freedom.
Yeah.
Transforming the people.
That is not how I interpreted that. We'll have that conversation
again.
Another time.
We'll have to watch again. Anyway, sorry. Beautiful not film. To cut you off, but I just wanted to plug some Christian movies.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. I love all of this. Well, actually, Happy Feet. I'm not.
That's all right.
I'm not a huge fan of Happy Feet. Right. You said we could disagree on things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all right. You're wrong, but we could disagree.
No, I'm right that I don't like it.
Right.
I'm right that I don't like it.
But Happy Feet 2,
I'm not
man.
Saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying I don't like
Feet
it.
Happy Feet 2 was about what the revolution awoke.
I didn't watch
deep.
That one because I so severely disliked the first one. Okay, it was good, though. Okay, so I was like, I was like 16 years old, and I was going through a weird little teenager phase where I was just being a goober and stuff, and I was going through like this whole faith crisis or whatever. And just trying to sort things out, but being kind of a butthole in the process. You have to censor that.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all buttholes?
Yeah. Say butthole. Yeah.
I was being a butthole in the process. And it was, I think it was for my birthday. My grandma, it's another person I hope doesn't see this podcast. She bought me these t-shirts that were just Christian movie t-shirts. To like encourage me in my faith. There was a movie. It was like a Christian police department movie or something like that. Do you remember that one?
Oh.
Wait, is it a Christian movie about a police department or was it a Christian police department?
It was a Christian movie about a police
department. Okay, because a Christian police department after Fireproof, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. Same guys, right?
Yeah.
Did that, yeah.
Yep. So oh, she got God. Me a shirt that had like a bunch of scripture and stuff and the name of I can't remember what it was called. But so she got me all these Christian shirts, and that's why I hate Christian movies because the shirts are terrible.
Yeah.
That checks out.
I mean, yeah, and that goes, for me, that goes beyond Christian movies.
Mm.
There are some bad Christian shirts.
Really bad ones.
Yeah.
I love the ones that are like spoofs.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the best.
Oh, so when I met my wife, she had a shirt that says, "I know Jesus." This is really bad, but this is what the shirt said: "Is I know Jesus, he's my gardener or something."
It's like oh this, gosh!
Yeah, it's oh, like racist shirt, and she had no faith in Jesus, and she didn't have a garden or a gardener.
Oh
it
man!
Was, it so it was really was misleading.
Just, so she was just racist.
She's not racist okay. either. She okay. just I think okay. like the she
does
likes
she watch
to
this?
Be funny. I hope not. This is bad because, like, we want people to watch it. So we keep on saying, I hope so-and-so doesn't see it.
I just hope that Dave Crescian and my grandma don't see it.
Wow.
She's gotten me plenty of good shirts since then.
My wife is not racist, for the record, but she did have funny shirts. Let's move on.
I was talking about the one that's, like, says Mountain Dew or whatever. But it doesn't say Mountain Dew. It's like the logo, but then it says something stupid like "Be a Christian."
Right. Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like because we all need
those.
I went
the opposite way with it.
Yeah, like the
atheist shirt, yeah. Atheist racist.
They're like,
you just completely went in the wrong direction.
Oh man, yeah, like a band T-shirt, but instead of the band name, it has some Christian verse or something. It says like something on the back about being a good boy or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, just follow Jesus. Yeah. TM.
Yeah. There's some cool. So with that, like, I think there's some cool Christian clothes, too. I like the hymn clothes. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It just says hymn.
Okay. I just think of the villain from Powerpuff Girls. That's him, right?
Maybe.
Him? It's like cross-dressing Girls. Satan.
It's another Christian
Which, that could be a whole podcast on itself. I feel like talking about him is like, and I love Powerpuff Girls, but anyway.
Yeah, great. So anyway, the him, it's H-I-M, and the I is like inside the word. First of all, it looks good, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, fashion should look good. Movies should be good and look good, and music should sound good.
Where is that written, Stevie? So where is that written? Show it to me in the Bible.
It's a given.
It really is.
Wow.
Sorry.
It should be the best, you know. Anyway. It's cool looking, and it's not imposing. You know what I mean? Like trying to, it does, like we talked about last week about agendas.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Christian movies have agendas.
Kind of try hard.
Like preaching from the movie, right? Like, first of all, just for anybody making Christian movies, non-Christians don't want to watch Christian movies.
Yeah.
So you're preaching the gospel to Christians.
Who are already Christians.
Already Christians, right. So like we need to make movies. We need to make movies that are actually for people who aren't believers.
I agree.
Yeah, that's great.
It reminds me of, idea. And this is bad, but it totally is true. So let me just start at the beginning. I watched a Flat Earth documentary a few days ago, and it reminded me of, like, because they talked a lot about confirmation bias, and it reminded me of Christians so much. Because it's like we surround ourselves with the things that reinforce what we already believe. And, like, when it comes to music or movies or anything, we just cut everything out that doesn't, like, already reinforce what we believe.
Right.
And I think that that is – there's an element of that that is in denial of the fact that other people exist, which kind of goes against the whole gospel, because the whole point is that you're supposed to surround yourself with people and love them.
Right. And you're not going to grow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just, it reminds me of like Jonathan sharing. I mean, he could go to his gym and focus on the one thing that he's really good at. Maybe like there's one thing like he's better than most everybody at. And he could focus on that and stroke his ego the whole time and just reinforce. It's like, I am super MMA guy. Right. Or he can, you know, make sure that he grows in that and work, get his butt whooped. Right. So that he can grow in those things that don't come easy. And that's the thing, is like we need that for us to grow. You have to, it's, I think about manure as a reference. Like manure helps grow fruit, right? Grow trees, grow.
You wouldn't want to eat the manure.
Yeah. No. But you gotta go through some crap if you wanna grow some fruit.
Right.
You know, if you wanna be stronger, if you wanna grow in character, you're gonna have to go through some crap, right? It's actually good for you.
I think there's a good analogy there.
Yeah.
Because you really don't want to eat the manure. You really don't.
Right.
But you have to expose the thing that you want to eat to the manure to grow it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Because you want the dem fruits. You
see, know now that would be a cool Christian shirt, I think.
You want dem fruits?
Right.
Not de poops. De fruits, not de poops.
Yeah, I don't know how. That...
Some cursive lettering.
No, yeah.
No, I was thinking more about the manure.
Philippians 4:12. I don't even know what the verse happens.
Crap happens. Yeah. It's interesting, though, the whole confirmation bias. It's, I've seen it a lot in like people my age that are so afraid of like surrounding themselves by things that encourage them in their faith that they surround themselves by things that do the opposite.
Mm.
Because they're so afraid of like becoming the status quo Christian.
Oh, wow.
They end up like, they end up kind of falling away from it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's,
wow.
Yeah, it's weird. I think it's good to like expose yourself to new things and things that kind of make you, you know, question, you know, your, maybe not your beliefs, but just, you know, kind of where you are.
Yeah.
But it's, community is also so important. Like Jesus surrounded himself with, he had his 12 guys.
Yeah.
You know.
Dem boys.
That was his community.
Yeah.
The prostitutes and stuff, they weren't his community. These are the people that he loved.
Yeah.
You know. And you can't.
Some of them eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's the hope.
Yeah.
But he didn't just like start off his community. Like those weren't his core people that were like encouraging him, you know?
Yeah.
And so people, they're so afraid of, I don't know, just becoming, I don't know, what they see their parents being or whatever, just being boring or whatever. They expose themselves to all this crazy stuff in hopes that they'll have like a unique perspective on their faith and Christianity. But then it's just like, ah.
Right.
Yeah.
It just kind of gets out of hand, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. See, because I don't know if I've ever thought about that. Yeah, community. Authenticity, being around authentic people, you know, that can encourage you, but also are going to... I mean, one of my favorite things to do is to lead people. I think, for me, I know I have a high value on freedom, and I know that part of being free is learning how to deal with uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
Like you were, you know, getting whooped on.
Yeah.
Like, that's not comfortable, but you know, like, that's the means... to getting better.
So
I like to, and because I'm in the, you know, music is a big part of my life. Like, there's performance, and like, you have to push yourself out of places that you eventually have to show somebody your song, and you know, all these kind of things.
Yeah.
It's so important that I love to lead people into uncomfortable situations because I know it's going to be the best thing for them. You know,
It's you're applying stress, and you know, when you apply stress, you either crumble under the weight or you have to be able to overcome the stress.
Right.
You tear and grow. It's like exercising.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And Jesus, I mean, the 12 guys, I mean, they had 3 years, and even in the 3 years, they were doing all the stuff. Right. And then afterwards, like, okay, now you go multiply the church.
Yeah.
You know, so if we've been in the church for 20 years and we've never talked to somebody about, or, you know, had a conversation or, you know, like, I don't know, given someone a sandwich, whatever it is, like, we haven't exposed ourselves outside of the four walls, like, there's something wrong with that. And you're actually creating your safety bubble, you know, and you're not. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah,
but
it's
a scary place to
not
be.
Not really
actually.
Of much use.
Right. Yeah. Not really. Your world is actually. It's not. You're not living in a reality that's. You know.
Yeah, I really need to expose myself. I was holding on to that one for way too long, but I forgot what I was going to say. There's something probably really important, and it would have completely blown your guys' minds. Wow. No, it was.
Man.
You almost were brilliant.
Almost. I think what has always been really fascinating to me is the disciples going through what they went through. The only reason it worked was because they had buy-in on some level. Because, you know, you have like the get behind me, Satan moments where Jesus is calling out, I think it was Peter, right?
Yeah.
Peter. And he called him Satan. And the only reason he didn't just be like, dude, why did you just call me that? I'm so done with you. I'm done with your crap. I'm leaving.
You're supposed to love me, Jesus.
Right. The only reason he didn't respond that way was because he had bought in on some level, and he understood what he was going for. Mm-hmm. Like, he knew who Jesus was, and he was like, it wasn't name calling, right? But if he had not bought in, right, because you're talking about community, surrounding yourself with not perfect people, but strong people that had bought in. So if he had not bought in, he would have been done. Like, he would have just left and been like, I'm so sick of this crap. He's putting on his backpack. Oh, you guys are calling me names, calling me Satan. Well, I'm going to get behind you. I'm going to get behind you right now. Check me out. And then he would just walk off.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, I think authenticity is such an important factor, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm around a lot of different types of people, a lot of different ages, and authenticity is like, it's something that you can kind of spot pretty quick in a person, whether they are a believer or not. And I think it's also how, you know, the different generations are able to communicate, like, together, like, older generations are able to communicate with younger, like, they find a way to relate to each other because, you know, being authentic is... You know, you're not trying to put on something, right, that isn't real and act it out.
Yeah.
You know, you really want to become like Jesus, you know, and know the truth. And so it's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny because that's why the term Christian came about is because you're taking on his name. So your actions are reflecting him. That's a lot of pressure. They felt, the early Christians felt like they were up to the task, you know, and so I frequently wonder that. I'm like, are we up to the task?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Christians, what does that mean, Christ-like or follower? I can't remember, or both, maybe. I can't remember.
I don't remember the exact original term.
I want to say Christ follower, you know, which is interesting with the disciples. Like, immediately Jesus is like, hey, follow me. Like, there's a decision to make. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to believe anything right now. Follow me. But they knew, like, something's up with this guy, right?
Didn't they follow him home once, a couple of the guys? And he was like, why are you following me? And they're like, well, we want to see what you're going to do next. And he's like, I'm going home to my house.
Go take a nap.
You guys need to go home as well.
Yeah,
and because that was before he had started his, I don't know, if crusade kind of has a negative connotation, but before he had started his whole
crusade. That was Muhammad.
Yeah. But before he had started his ministry in earnest.
There you go.
We are so off topic.
So bad. So
but
bad.
It's so good. Yeah. I'm digging it. Should we get on topic or should we just keep talking?
I don't know. So Christian movies, that's where we were started this from. Yeah. Did you have a story to tell about a Christian movie?
Oh, it was just the shirts.
Oh, the shirts. Okay.
Yeah, it was just the shirts.
Yeah.
That kind of that sealed the deal for me on disliking Christian movies.
Yeah but we love your grandma.
Movies. I love my grandma.
Yes. Just not the
actually,
shirts.
I call her Nana.
Yeah.
Nana Dempsey.
Love you, awesome. Nana.
Love you, Nana.
My kids call my mom Nana.
Love you, Nana.
So, I mean, I think just to kind of summarize some, you know, I think it's a lot like, you know, when I was a kid, there was a group of kids that had Nike shirts, right? And in middle school, they were the jock kids and, you know, their parents had money. But if you had a shirt with a Nike swoosh on it, you were treated a little bit different, you know, in middle school when I was growing up. And so it'd just be like, you know, I'm going to throw a Nike shirt on. I don't play sports and I don't really know what it's about. just so I can like be in this group, you know, that's what I feel like a lot of that stuff is. And it can go either way, whether it's in Christian realms or, you know, I'm going to put a Jesus fish on because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm the coolest.
Now, if you like really like a Jesus fish and you want to, you know, rep that and you own it, like do it.
Yeah.
You know, but.
What is going on? Oh, it's that woman. I'm just going to...
There you go.
I'll be back shortly.
You're good.
So,
hopefully it's not important.
Yeah, I don't know. Should we segue?
Yeah, we'll segue however we can. Yeah. Watch me segue. I don't have a follow-up. It's just that.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
That was really good. Yeah.
it was actually top tier.
It was a savage segue.
Yeah, thanks, man. The whole thing that we were planning on doing,
right?
The important thing,
yeah.
Which now seems less important
right.
after this conversation,
yeah.
was we wanted to talk about, we wanted to do something we've always talked about doing, which mm-hmm. is go into a song in depth.
Yeah.
We can't really play the song.
That's correct.
Because we will be in trouble.
Oh, that is such a bummer.
It really is.
I was looking forward to listening
because
to that song.
I wanted to do that.
It's a great
but I
song.
Don't see a way that we can.
We can have a link.
Yeah, so
can listen to it.
And everybody's probably heard it. It's I'm Sunflower. Sure. I don't know if it's a joint song with, I don't even know how you say his name, Sway?
Sounds right.
Sway Lee and Post Malone. I don't know if they wrote it together or if it's like Post Malone's featured. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it doesn't, if I remember right, it doesn't say feature. It looks like just both their names are on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's in the top 40. I think it was actually three.
We're nice.
The third spot when I checked.
I thought that it would be good because we've spent a lot of time bashing in top 40 hits and pop culture.
Yeah.
So Justin and I thought it'd be a good idea to start with one that mm-hmm. we like. And so you guys know that we don't hate all pop music or all top 40 hits, just most of them.
Really early on, we were like, we don't hate pop music, but then all that we've done is like rip on it. We haven't really. But I think this is a good example of a song that we do like that I think displays the good elements of pop, right? It's very emotional. It gets to the point very quickly, and it conveys what it wants to convey. But it has some really cool, interesting twists. So I don't know how we wanted to do this. I wanted to go through like song structure, lyrics.
Yeah.
So maybe let's start with song structure. I enjoy the song structure because it's a little bit different.
It's different.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, it doesn't fit the, you know, the pop culture, pop song mold.
Yeah. It has a cool flow to it. I like the new kind of more laid back thing that's happening because a couple of years ago, every song had to be like, oh, getting pumped. Oh, it had to be big and like, you know, and it was just like really, but now it's like we're getting into some more chill stuff. I like that. I like.
Says the post-hardcore metal loving fanatic.
Yeah, I know. What the heck?
I just love chill music.
I love chill music. No, it's weird because more recently I've pretty much only been listening to like really ambient stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I've been
like
listening.
That stuff.
Yes. There's a band I've been listening to called This Will Destroy You.
That sounds really mellow, ambient.
But it's like their genre is the origin of worship music. It's actually a really interesting story of how that happened. But there's like this whole genre of ambient rock that worship stole. I can talk more about that another time.
That's kind of cool.
It really is. So I was listening to it yesterday, and my wife comes in. She's like, this sounds like worship music without the worship part, like the lyrics and the vocals and stuff. I was like, yeah, it's because like this is like this is where it comes from, you know. But anyway, we can go into that either another episode or just after
this podcast. Original hymnals were actually taken from like bar.
I said that too, really popular tunes, like bar songs and stuff. And they just applied
the chord progressions and the way they played those original hymnals when they're on piano was,
And now it's lit back in the day.
You know what I'm saying? Those church services,
just cracking bottles over the organ, throwing them back in the crowd.
Yeah.
Man.
Love you, Jesus. Jesus Christ.
What I would get.
I love you, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't resist.
We are so not doing a good job at keeping on track, which is fine.
I think it's Jonathan's fault.
I don't think it is. I really don't think it is.
I don't appreciate you blaming me.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I just
I like where it's at. So,
I like where it's at,
you know,
too.
If you do blame me, that's fine, because this is great.
I'm giving you credit is what I'm
okay,
doing.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pray hands.
Pray hands.
Hey.
I really dig Sunflower. I really like the song structure. I think it starts and ends in a good place. It doesn't drag on too long. I actually looked up like what the chord progression was. Yeah. I don't remember. I don't know if that's
they're
important.
All augmented chords.
No.
Nothing.
No, they're not. That I didn't look it up, but I know that's not right. There's not an augmented chord in that song.
Who's to say? I think Sway Lee is the only one that knows.
Me.
Maybe Post.
We could look it up.
You know what? He does have this weird thing that shifts on his vocal at one point. When that note shifts, maybe that creates an augmented tone that – no, probably not.
Probably not, no.
I'm reading that it's in the key of D.
Okay. Praise God.
Praise God. It's D, G, E minor, G again.
Wow.
And I think that's it, the whole song.
Wow.
Say it again.
D, G, E minor, G again.
Should we just play a cover of it?
Yeah, just right now. Well, actually, we could get claimed for that. Yeah.
Really?
What
if we change the lyrics and the chords?
Then it would be a different song.
No. You don't have to change the chords. Cannot copyright a chord progression.
Oh.
Or
not according to YouTube. That's another story I have to tell you.
You can't copyright
D-sus
a chord progression. You can copyright?
Yeah.
What? You cannot copyright a chord progression.
Well, you can get claimed for a chord progression.
It's that like, is
this
so
is the,
silly.
This is the first chord of this song that I wrote, so I'm copywriting you because you used the first same chord.
So they
that
can,
actually
so,
happened.
But
I forget the YouTuber's
no.
name.
Yeah, but that, yeah. It will not hold up, though.
It won't.
Saying.
The problem is it's disruptive.
Okay. Well, it's we're like, not going to play it, right?
Yeah, we're
okay.
not. What was I doing? I was looking up the lyrics, probably.
But just for the record, like, in the Library of Congress, you cannot copyright a chord progression or a drum pattern.
Yes. The problem is, like, YouTube is, like, lawless right now.
Right.
It's like they don't know how to deal with it, so they're just not. They're just like, I don't even know how to deal with this.
Right.
So I'm just
going to respond to everything. So people let us keep making money.
Yeah, it's just automated.
How much is YouTube worth?
I don't know. But
bajillions, probably.
It has to be.
14
I mean,
bajillion.
That's quite a few bajillions.
I mean, how just their ability to be able to have all the storage space to keep all that content.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of legwork went into YouTube. Like, they have to follow laws for every country that they're in.
Wow.
Then all the copyright laws are different.
Yeah.
And so they have to keep track of all of it.
Wow.
So you can't just start a YouTube. It takes a lot of time and a lot of work. That's why there's no decent competitor. But
man,
we're really good at staying on topic.
Sunflower.
Anyways, Sunflower is a song. So I pulled up the lyrics. I don't know how you guys felt about it. I wanted to just go through all the lyrics.
I really like the cruise ship part.
Can we go? Can we break down the music a little more before we go into lyrics?
Yeah, man.
Because I got some stuff on that.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Let's do it.
So it's really they're using a lot of like 80s type sounds, like even with the way the drums come in, like you can tell it's like it's got a retro sound.
It's and like that reverb with that just. Cuts off.
Yeah. But even the samples that I think that they use are like they're recorded from a time. Either that or with a mic that's like a vintage, sound. but I probably samples, you know what I mean? And then they come in with this like hollowed out sawtooth synth. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like
the bow,
the QWERTY one,
that one.
Yeah. Or, yeah. It's almost like a bass. It's really low, but it's like in the low mid range. At first you think it's going to be the bass, but then the bass drops in.
Yeah.
I think when the first verse starts, and you're like, ooh, it's, and so, yeah, I love that, retro sawtooth kind of synthesizer that they use. And then they got what's going on lyrically, or not lyrically, but, the processing with the vocals and some other things in the, high mid range.
Yeah,
is more modern, more current. So it's just cool to mix that retro with, you know, the current sound, and it's very creative.
Yeah, yeah. I really, the vibe is so unique. Like, I don't really hear a whole lot of songs that remind me of it.
Yeah.
like, they've got a really cool drum loop that's kind of just going on pretty much the whole song. Doesn't really change a whole lot. It'll, like, drop out every once in a while to accentuate parts. But it's such a good drum loop. Like, this is not a lame drum loop. This is not a super busy drum loop, but it's like it was crafted. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't like, okay, I'm gonna do like 16th notes here and do a triplet here. It was like,
it's very simple too.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's very like, it's straightforward, but it's like addictive.
Yeah,
I don't know how to explain it, but it's like the way, like, so much care was given to how each part of it sounded. And so it has a really cool flow, and it sounds really good.
And I think part of that is, like I said, the samples that they used. It's not just the pattern itself, but the sound of the components of the drum loop. They're old, man. You know, it sounds – and not like – yeah, it's got like an 80s feel. It sounds like drums that weren't even used in hip-hop.
Yeah.
Like ever, like almost like an old rock track or something.
Yeah.
But like – the pattern's kind of hip-hop pattern, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But without being, like, absurdly busy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's, like...
But still full.
Yeah, it's very full.
So full.
It's it just doesn't not, have that, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that emptiness that some, like, trap music can have.
Yeah. I just now recognize...
Like, dead space.
That to describe something, I did a motion.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes
as
sense.
As though everybody could see what was happening.
We feel
while you were playing the air drums.
I was playing air drums.
Yes.
To clarify. So if you're listening to this...
Yeah.
And then I had a face.
That's the other thing that's really cool about the song, too, is, like you had mentioned, you know, space, like in trap music. There's quite a bit of space in the music of this song, and then they fill the space. A lot of the elements of the song are being done by the vocals, which is really cool. I love when you – because a lot of intentionality has to go into – using vocals like an instrument, and that might sound weird. You know, you think, oh, everybody uses vocals like an instrument. Well, if you take the vocals away and it doesn't sound like a song the same way anymore, you know, then you know, like, the vocals are, like, a huge component, not just lyric-wise, but, you know, it's filling a lot of space.
Oh, yeah.
And this, they do that really well. You know, so there's still a lot of space, but they fill it, and the vocals take a large part of that, which... That's also, it doesn't seem, that doesn't happen a lot these days in the pop charts, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like that they trade spots for the chorus.
Yes.
Like, I think
I like
the first guy is Sway Lee, I think, Post Malone's
the
guy who does
it
second time, right?
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. Yeah. So, like, each one gets a verse and a chorus.
Yeah.
It's,
and then
really cool.
I think they share the second verse.
Is that at the end?
No, it's before the second chorus comes in.
I mean, at the end of the second verse is what I mean. But
yeah, I think,
is that when they're both?
I want to say, like,
I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either now that I listened to it a few different times. But I think there's a verse part, or maybe you call it a bridge. But either way, they before you get to the second chorus, you hear both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like a 16-bar phrase. Or,
I wonder if that's like a pre-chorus, because I think it has the same lyrics as before the first chorus as well.
It might be a pre-chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that there's a part that's not repeated by either guy that they do before you get to the second chorus. So there's a swapping that happens before.
Just pull it up.
Yeah.
Just pull it up.
Well, we'd have to listen to it probably to actually.
Oh, yeah. Or do you mean lyrically?
Well, just to be remind, just to like.
Yeah.
Do you already have the?
I do, but we can both have them.
We can both. Yeah.
Yeah,
we've got exclusive phones. Rights to the lyrics.
We got two phones.
I got two.
I got one for the lyrics. You've got one for the lyrics. That's not how it goes.
That's not how it goes, but it's still good.
So yeah, that's what I got for the music piece.
Yeah,
I love this song. It's the only song on the radio right now that I don't hate. Actually, no, there's one by Ariana Grande.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one? Is it God as a Woman?
Or? No, that song's trash.
It really is.
And honestly, this song isn't that great either. What is it? It's Leave Your Girlfriend or something like that. Have you heard that one?
I have not.
I haven't either.
It's not a great song, but for some reason I really...
There's something about it you like.
There's something about it. I just groove to it.
Yeah, man. I get that.
And you'll be laughing.
So that's cool. That was a question I was curious because we've never talked pop culture with you. I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just that was something I wanted to cover before we got into this, but we didn't have time. So interesting to hear your stance.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly probably listen to too much pop music for the amount of enjoyment that I actually get out of it. There are very few things that I find on the radio that I'm like, oh, that tugs on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there are some, like, I mean, this song, for example, I wouldn't have heard if I hadn't heard it on the radio.
Right.
Most likely. I mean, it probably would have come up at some point.
Yeah.
But...
Because you're a huge Post Malone fan.
Huge Post Malone fan.
Oh, yeah.
Love him. Actually, Post Malone has a great voice. And
he really does. He's got a cool rasp.
Yeah. And his music feels very real, and I like that. Whereas a lot of... I think we talked about this yesterday.
Mm-hmm. We did.
But just a majority of pop music and rap, especially these days, is just kind of built around, you know, clout and just all this silly stuff. And he has stuff like that mm-hmm. as well. But it's so much more intimate and personal. Like his experiences and the way that he conveys them comes across so much more sincerely than a lot
and
of other guys.
Yeah, there's a lot more depth to the content.
Yeah.
A lot of, I mean, not always, like you said, but
yeah
he's got some deep content in some of his tracks.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the intimacy that you experience with his music, maybe that's a weird way to put it, but the intimacy that you experience with his music also comes just from his voice. Because he has a voice that kind of pulls you in.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just,
he's nice. I don't love all of his stuff, but he has a couple songs. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to admit this to anybody, and I kind of hate that I'm saying it on camera. Like, where everybody can see this if they want to. They can see that I don't hate Post Malone.
Right.
No, but I agree, though. I think that there's something there. I think that he has an artistic mind, and I think that he's very much trying to... be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's trying to just be
he's
like...
He's got barbed wire on his head, dude.
Yeah, as long as you have a barbed wire tattoo on your head, it means that you are a good artist.
You are an artist.
And I think that...
You just are an artist.
You just are.
He's, you can tell he cares about the sound. Like, he's going for a sound. There's a sound that's Post Malone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's... I think that's rare in top 40 right now. I feel like a lot of people are just... They're trying to make money. Or they're singing something that somebody else gave them.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice when somebody cares about, you know, the sound. Even if I don't love the sound and I know that they're committed to something, I still am I'm a fan of you as a person.
Yeah.
Even if I don't, you know, love your music, I'm like, yeah, do that.
Yeah.
You know.
He has a verse in his song. Sorry, we were like so off.
No, you're good. You're good.
He has a verse in his song Wow that's on the radio right now. Where he just like completely shifts the flow, I guess, of the song. And it's so... Have you heard it?
I have not.
Oh, man. Well, you can't really talk about it if you haven't heard it.
It's so good.
It's so cool,
though.
It's really, really cool, and it's very unique.
Is it like a... I don't know how to explain it. Does he go into, like... Like, how does it shift?
Just the timing. The timing
just
of
different
the...
different emphasis?
Yeah. It completely shifts. I'm trying to think of what I can compare it to. It's a lot more... There's a lot more like swing to it.
Rather
than like, again, trap quarter. Rappers like, like,
no, I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of like,
mm-hmm. It hits a little like offbeat. It's nice. Yeah.
I love that stuff.
So you're finding, the subdivisions of the rhythm are in a triplet feel as opposed to the quarter note feel. So the quarter's like, boom, cat, boom, cat.
Yeah.
Da, 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 happens in between where those notes hit. Yeah.
The boobs and the keks.
The boobs and the keks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Or like six eight time, you know.
Yeah, I play in 6/8 so often.
Because it has it naturally is triplet feel.
Yeah.
You know?
I love shifting from 4/4 to 6/8. Yeah. I love that so much.
Yeah, and that's so you can still work the quarter note subdivisions in 6/8 time, but it naturally has that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. I can't even think of a song that does that.
So I imagine probably something like that's going on in the second verse, which I will be checking out when I leave here.
Check that song out. It's nice.
I'm a fan of really good verses of hip hop artists.
So. Yeah, it's cool stuff. He's a cool guy. A cool guy.
Yeah.
Smokes a lot of cigarettes, though. So.
Yeah, that's probably where he gets that rasp.
I mean, how cool can... Actually, I've thought about that before because I really like artists that have that kind of raspy sound. And it's obviously something that I don't have. Like, how could I cultivate that?
You can. You can.
Smoke cigarettes.
It's a different way of singing. You know, you got to get some of that gravel from your throat. It's not something you're necessarily born with. I mean, some people probably are more... prone to do it when they first start singing, but you can develop it.
Yeah.
I think when you smoke a ton, it just forces you to.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the rasp is there. You can't shut it off.
Because you have throat cancer.
Yeah. So it's like, but I think.
Sing clean.
Yeah, but I think you can get it naturally, probably.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just by, we'll get you a vocal coach. Just by like shouting a bunch, like, and just wearing your voice out, and like, now I can sing like that.
It's just there's just some gravel. I've done some. There's some techniques you can learn online that teach you how to do it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you can play around with how much you add, you know what I mean? Because you can overdo it to where it doesn't sound natural.
I want to overdo it. Yeah. That's what I want. Yeah.
There's a lot of coaching stuff on YouTube.
Just keep kicking.
I know. It's like,
it's just right there.
Don't worry about it. It's got a shock mount, so.
Yeah, it's chill.
It soaks up the.
Nice.
It doesn't go every time.
Right. Until you do that.
Yeah, you're right.
It sounds like that.
Yeah. There's so much music stuff on YouTube, man. Like, it's like, if I want to learn something regarding a chord progression, I could just YouTube it. There's so many cool dudes on YouTube that know how to do stuff. And you're like, how do I do stuff? And they're like, well, the stuff that you want to do is this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. And then you just do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
If only I'd known. I used to watch, like, instructional videos a lot on YouTube. I still do for, like, guitar, but, like, vocal. Mm-hmm. Instruction. When I was probably between the ages of like 14 and 17, I watched them, but I always felt way too uncomfortable to actually like do the exercises in my
mouth.
So I was like, well, now I know how to do those things.
When I'm
someday when I live in my own home, I will practice these things. And now I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I still don't do it.
Isn't that like life just in general? Yeah. How it works?
When I'm a big kid, I'm going to do all these cool things.
I think we should quit it. You know, just do it.
Stop it.
Yeah. Let people see you.
Yeah, for real.
You know
for real. I'm with you.
I think the more like you get comfortable with like who you are, the less you care about what other people are going to think about it. I mean, it's still there to some degree for me, but it's way less, you know.
Yeah.
Are we going to go back to Sunflower, or are we just
Lyrics? I think.
Do we want to go over
such a deep song?
I know.
I don't know how much time we have left, so let's just dive into the lyrics.
Do we want to go over the individual lines, or do we just want to be like, this is...
What do you think? What do you want to do?
I don't know that I necessarily want to go over like every single line, but I just kind of... What I wanted to do is just kind of everybody share their thoughts about like what they think it's about, what... I don't know what jumps out at you from the lyrics instead of just going over every line.
Cool.
But
yeah, I think most of what I had to say was more about the music. So,
yeah. Well, one thing that I was going to say is I like the way that words are chosen in this song. Like, I think there's a really cool, and I say this a lot on this podcast, a cool alliteration. Mm-hmm. Just the way that they align words up.
Yeah.
Is really cool. And that's really important, you know, for lines that are really memorable, that like stick in your brain.
Yeah.
A good example is basically an entire album by Emery. I think it's called You Were Never Alone or something like that. I don't remember. But that whole album is full of really good alliteration. It's a good example of what I'm talking about. It's just like lines that get in your brain and they stay there because of how they're phrased and like the rhythm of how they're said and stuff. But this song is full of those.
Right.
They don't even care about rhyming so much, but it's just like obeying the rhythm and then like having syllables that are like somewhat the same.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
Some flat out parts in the words that just don't rhyme at all. And there's also, there's some gutsy stuff done with it, you know? And a lot of, yes, there's parts that don't rhyme at all. And then there's parts where they repeat a whole phrase that they said, right, in another way, like where they say the same thing kind of twice.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember exactly what the lyric is, but you're tired.
There's a few.
Or something about her spending the night, you know, and then he says, crash at your place or something. And then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm a wreck, you're a wreck.
Yeah, that's said twice, right, from like a – from his perspective, I think, and then that's used again from her perspective, I think.
Yeah. I actually don't know. I think it's only once, but I could be wrong.
It's only once.
Is it only once?
No, it's twice.
It's twice. I'm just on whoever's side.
That's all right. I just like to be the right one.
Justin had his phone out, so I thought he was right for a minute. Yeah. I was like, well, Stevie.
Sorry, Stevie.
Just for the record, I only heard this yesterday, so I'm already.
Yeah, Justin, so he goes, Stevie was right. Yeah, you're right. It's I'm a wreck, you're a wreck, and then he does another two lines, and then he goes, I'm a wreck, you're a wreck again.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's gutsy stuff, you know? I mean, especially for hip-hop artists, because I know you can, like, you just wreck your brain over, like, I can't say that word again, because I already said that word, right? And then you have people like, I'm going to say that on purpose. I'm going to use the same
four times.
Yeah. Right after I didn't rhyme, right? Right after a phrase where I didn't rhyme, you know? So it's just, it's gutsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression that there's a lot of really, in a good way, there's a lot of really personal stuff in the song. Like, there's things that we're not really supposed to understand.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they've really tried or even wanted to explain any of what the imagery means.
Yeah.
But, like, for instance, the main line of the song, which is, you're a sunflower, like, that doesn't really explain what that means. And I like that because it's, like, it's just an image that you get.
Yeah.
And it conveys something without it being like, and what I mean by that is that, you know,
it's felt.
Yeah.
It's felt, more than it's not an intellectual thing.
I think just the name of the song, too, kind of shapes the feeling that you get from the song.
Yeah.
Just the sunflower. You get, like, this kind of airy, happy vibe from it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that as well. That's just one more thing I like about the
song. Yeah.
The entire song is just good.
Yeah, and there's no, like, posturing, you know? Like, and that's one thing about a lot of pop that I really don't like is it's always, like, there'll be a breakup song and there's posturing. And it's, like, you can't have it both ways, you know? You can't be, like, oh, I'm being so vulnerable right now because this happened. And also be, like, but actually, like, you're stupid because I'm so awesome. And you're the one that needs to just change your life because I'm awesome.
What's an example of a song like that?
I want to take the easy route and say any song that I've ever heard.
Okay.
But a specific example is the one that's like
"Sad Boy" by Daniel Taylor.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding, Daniel. Sorry,
he's getting his licks in. See, that's a technical fighter looking for his opening.
Yeah, and he was just like going in for the kill. The one that's like "You're So Vain."
Right.
You think the song is about you? It literally is.
Right.
It literally is about the guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, it's dumb. That's just an example.
Yeah.
I'd have to think about it to come up with more.
That's a great example.
If you write
a perfect
song,
example.
And in the song, you're claiming that you don't care about the person anymore, yet you wrote a whole song about it. You're lying.
Yeah.
You're not over it.
I think
a song
that did that well, actually, was a song by Apocalyptica, of all bands, called I Don't Care, because I think it's unintentionally in that instance, but...
Yeah. But still, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think
that's...
You wrote
a song. You wrote a whole song about it.
I hope that that's on purpose, because otherwise it's just stupid.
Right.
But the impression I get is that he writes the song intentionally, you know, that's the line that you always say when you care is I don't care.
Right.
Right. But otherwise,
I'm
it's
not going to allow you to know that you're hurting me right now.
Right. Otherwise, it's just.
That's all that translates to. That's
really?
What that means.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
That's what my 5-year-old does when I send him to the corner. Yeah. I don't care. I don't. Okay. You will.
I know what's going on in your heart.
It's like
a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Batman v Superman. Yeah. Do you bleed? You will.
Yeah.
That was a terrible movie.
It really was. So we were talking about that earlier.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. Awful movie.
It's like people waited for this movie
their whole life.
Like a live action Batman v Superman.
Come on.
Based on a good comic, hopefully, that portrays the ideological conflict between Batman and Superman. Do we have time for this rant?
Just a stupid montage. Know.
But I do like The Man of Steel. I think in the last like 5 years of DC movies, that's like the only good one. I'm just saying that. I think there's some other ones that I would put.
What about Wonder Woman, dude?
I'm going to say this. I'll put Wonder Woman in the I category, right? That movie is all right. Like, it was one of the better. This is me. But it wasn't – I didn't feel like it was on the Man of Steel level, especially with the writing. Like, the way they wrote and developed the story. So I was really disappointed in Batman vs. Superman because they took their time, I felt like. Man of Steel felt like it was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden throw Batman in there and add all of Justice League.
And it's trash.
And it's trash.
I haven't seen Justice League yet.
It's better than Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, okay. It's a lot better.
Okay. It's on, for me, it's on the Wonder Woman, you know.
Okay. Level. What about Aquaman?
Aquaman.
I have not seen it.
I really want to see it because Jason Momoa is the most attractive human on the earth.
Possibly, yeah.
Well, next to Dylan, right?
I don't know, man.
Wow.
It's close.
He's close.
Who do you think would win in a fight, though?
Dylan.
Oh, God. Okay. So, yeah, Aquaman was good.
Because he beat you.
Yeah.
There were certain things about some of the action scenes that I have not seen done as well as in that movie.
Okay.
Very creative things were done, particularly.
Special effects wise, is that what you're talking about?
Not even special effects wise, but just
like choreography.
Just like how the fight scenes are composed, and not just the fight scenes, but the action scenes. Like there's one in particular. This is gonna suck because I don't remember the movie very well. But they're fighting their way through this city, and the Mira and Aquaman are separated, but the things that are happening are affecting the other person. So like a blast from one side will shoot debris over to Aquaman's side.
That's awesome.
And so it's cool transitioning back and forth.
That's really
That being said, it is so, so cheesy. Oh, it's intense. Like,
wow.
Like you're just like,
not
you have,
on purpose
you
either.
Have to go like this. Sometimes you're like, oh my gosh.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, the amount of times that the villains say "I am" and then the villain name is too many times.
Wow.
The answer.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, they'll be like, "I am Ocean Master," or no, he says, "Call me Ocean Master." I think. Call me Ocean Master.
He says that. That's
the villain
his name?
Says that. Yeah.
That's his name is Ocean Master.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I think right. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I don't. I haven't seen it.
And then the Black Manta. He says almost the exact same line. He goes, "I am Black Manta." Wow. And you're like,
if people don't have any context, then it's probably good that they, like, now they know.
Are you calling yourself Black Manta because you're black? Is that why you're calling yourself that?
Whoa.
But this is a phenomenon that I have long.
You going to let him say that?
Yeah.
On your podcast?
But you got to switch it up because we don't have time. We're like,
I know, we're so bad.
Christian movies.
What's going on?
Aquaman.
Well, let me call it
with Batman versus Superman. Yeah. I just got to add this.
Terrible movie.
Terrible movie, but when Batman stabs a guy and twists the knife. Just gotta say, love that.
Satisfying.
Love that little detail.
I don't even remember that.
Okay, so that just adds this element to Batman where he's just like
a little bit of savagery,
a bad mood, and a little darker than anyway. So
like that.
Yeah, but to clarify my statement before I get hate, there's a phenomenon in comics where all of the black characters are called black something.
Oh yeah,
you will observe this if you think about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about it until a while back.
Give me one example.
Black Lightning.
One more.
Black Panther.
All right.
A panther is by definition black.
He just had to hear you say Black Panther. I think he's like, you got to say that one.
Because a panther by definition is black. It's a black jaguar. Right. That's what a panther is. Mm. So you're basically saying black jaguar.
Right, right.
It kind of pisses me
off.
It's
like your PIN number.
Yeah.
Your personal identification number.
Number. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Or chai tea. Chai just means tea.
Does it?
Yeah, it just means tea.
Can I have a tea?
That's hilarious. steamy.
Oh, here I go again.
You done got got.
Leave it to me.
You got it.
I got by myself. And when I say got, I mean chai tea. Yeah, that's right.
I have no response.
I just
anyway.
Say something, make everybody dumber.
We appreciate it, Stevie.
To try welcome. To get back on track before we end this thing.
I don't know if there ever was a track.
I don't know.
Good luck.
We're off-roading it on a train.
Happy
we're just crashing
for the track. That's going to be like twice as long as what we've done even so
yeah,
far.
I don't even know what we're going to call this episode, but I think that Sunflower is just dialoguing about a relationship that is healthy in a lot of ways, but then they both have problems. And so they're like trying to like look past them because there's so much good that they see in the relationship, but at the same time it's like they're hurting each other.
Yeah.
That's the impression I get.
What's the part, like what do you get out of the part when it's like if I wasn't there, something like you would have fallen, or I can't remember exactly. Do you know what I'm the lyric I'm saying? I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. Let me pull it up. I actually have it up, so let me just grab it.
Because it's interesting. It's like, I think it's the line right before the sunflower part, or it's right after.
You're left in the dust unless I stuck by you.
Yeah. That's like a really like, so when I think about that in real life, I'm like, that's kind of like a really, somebody hurting doesn't really need to hear that.
It's a little prideful.
And then you go right into, you're a sunflower, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel like if I said that to my wife, like in that order, it wouldn't have mattered how cute my little saying was.
Right.
Like,
That was a mean thing you just said to me.
Well, the impression I get, and maybe this is completely wrong, but the visual I get is literally like a sunflower in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he picks it up. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, not necessarily like, oh, well, I'm such a good person because
I
did this.
In the dust.
But it's literally like, I found you broken. Yeah. And it's like, I'm trying to like help you in some way. And you know, that doesn't make it necessarily make it less conceited or whatever.
Right.
But to me, that's like the visual I get. Yeah. Cause like left in the dust is like a phrase that we think of like, eat my dust, sucker. And then you're driving off. And you're like, oh my gosh. Right. That's the vision that we get from that.
Oh, that's what we get from it.
Forever. After this moment.
Yeah. The imagery that I get is very much like literal. It's very much like there's a sunflower in the dust. Right. He's picking it up.
Yeah. Sunflowers are big, too.
They are big.
I thought for some reason, when I was until yesterday, listening to the song, I always imagined a dandelion instead of a sunflower. It's like, she's just a little sunflower.
Mm-hmm.
She's just a little baby sunflower.
No.
But no. Sunflowers are big.
Yeah,
they really are.
That's my takeaway from the song. Yeah, sunflowers are actually big.
When you think about it.
And that's science.
Yeah, right. It really is.
So, I mean, that's probably not a good adjective to use when describing your woman.
Big?
Yeah.
Powerful? Full of seeds.
Powerful is better. Powerful's better. I wouldn't do the
like
seeds
powerful.
Either. All those seeds is better than big.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a seedy woman.
Don't. No. <Mm-mm. laughs> Abort. Abort mission.
But if you're like, if you're going for something, the only two things that pop up is big and seedy, go with the seedy. I mean, not a good choice, but.
But what
know,
if you immediately.
Kind of like a presidential, like, sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Bad, worse.
Yeah, that I was guess. Literally. I mean, bad. I don't want to get into politics, but that was definitely. My first time voting, it was one of those. And I was like, this sucks. I want people that are cool and that I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's been Mike.
I don't think that.
Every time I voted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that good people are good at politics. That's a whole discussion. But I think have to be a psychopath to succeed in our political. Like arena because normal people.
But what about Donald?
okay. Save it for another time.
Yeah.
Wow.
But. I don't have a response. But
please don't find one.
Yeah, but I think between you know seedy and big, if you're trying to, if you immediately follow it up, you could come up with some good out of that. So if you pick big, you know what? You're big on kindness. Because it's really important to you to be kind.
Your heart
is big.
Yeah.
Your heart is seedy.
Yeah, go with big. On
little
that
seeds.
Yeah,
seeds big. That represent love.
Yeah.
Love seeds.
So, we like this song on the top 40, Sunflower.
Is it a confession?
I like it. I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah. I haven't.
I love it.
And
I love it.
Yeah. So we needed to give you guys this because just to know, like, there's more dimensions than our hate for top 40 hits.
That was the objective.
Yes. I don't know if we fulfilled it.
Dude, we
butchered.
I wouldn't say butchered. Yeah. We were all over the place. But
we,
I think,
butchered
it's
any plan we had.
We did. We did butcher the plan, for sure. But what came out of it was better than the plan.
I give Jonathan full credit.
Hey, thanks, guys.
And I said we should never do this again, but here we are clapping.
Well, he's a friend of the show, so he's going to have to come back on sometime.
That's true. That's true.
I'll come back sometime.
Because that's the difference between a guest and a friend of the show. Have you noticed that?
I haven't noticed that. Yeah. I only watch the Joe Rogan podcast, really.
Oh. Yeah.
But I get, well, like Eddie Bravo. He's kind of a friend of the show.
Yeah.
He's kind of a close friend, though.
Like a little too close?
I don't know if I want to be here that often.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I would love, I mean, I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to be here that often.
And Brandon.
Schaub.
Schaub is, he's a friend of the show.
He's not as cool of a friend. Eddie Bravo is way cooler.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Is that what our next podcast is going to be about?
Brendan Schaub and Schaubin?
Schaubin.
No. Schaubin?
No. And Eddie Bravo?
No.
I said Bravo, right? Not Alvarez.
You said Bravo.
Okay, good. Yep. Whew.
You did say that.
It's word for a second.
Not Eddie Alvarez. Alvarez.
You just got
sorry
knocked out
for your loss, Eddie.
Man.
Yeah, I saw that. I felt bad.
I did too.
And congratulations, Mighty Mouse.
Yep.
All right.
And well, we out.
Yeah, we out.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you guys have
thanks,
a track?
Guys. What?
You have a track that plays us out?
Yeah. Well, we don't have
Skytree Studios.